Greetings, dear growers from around the world. Jordan River here. Credit to the plants, everybody. Today, we're back. We're back with GrowCast. We're back with a new guest, actually. Brand new guest, Brendan from Spectrum King, and so much more, is on the line. Now, this is a friend of Potent Ponics. He referred Brendan over to us, and we immediately hit it off. This is a very powerful episode. You're really going to like what we get into today, and I know you guys are going to have questions, so throw them in the Discord. Hit us at contact@growcastpodcast.com if you have any questions. Brendan will be back on. I think you'll enjoy the fact that we made a new friend on the show today. Before we jump in with Brendan, quick love to PhotonTech. PhotonTech is where it's at, baby. growcastpodcast.com/photon brings you right there. Code GROWCAST saves you 5% on your high-end, efficient LED bar-style lights. The PhotonTech is a fantastic purchase for a lot of reasons. Besides the sexy red, you go take a look at the output, you go take a look at the efficiency, it's virtually the same as the units that are costing hundreds of dollars more, and you just grab a controller, one controller, will control as many as you need. So the PhotonTech is powerful, it's efficient, it runs extremely cool. The 465 watt is perfect for a 4x4. I've got a 600 crammed in my 4x4, and it is just too much. It's too much to handle. It's one of the things that Shane said about PhotonTech. If anything, they're too powerful, baby. If you're tired of your underpowered light, then go to growcastpodcast.com/photon. Check it out. Use code GROWCAST. And be sure to check out all of the reviews, the PAR maps and the efficiency reviews and the MyGrow test of the 1,000-watt CO2. Very cool stuff. Love to PhotonTech. I'm using it. I love that sexy red, baby. Go and grab one. Code GROWCAST. All right, let's get into it with Brendan from Spectrum King. Thank you all for listening and enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, I urge you to share the show. Always spread GrowCast. Tell a grower and make sure you're subscribed so that you catch every single episode. Get on the green list. Go to growcastpodcast.com/list for updates, giveaways, tips, and so much more for free. And then, of course, check out patreon.com/growcast for hundreds of hours of bonus content. Today, we have a brand new guest on GrowCast. I'm very excited to be speaking with Brendan from Spectrum King LED from, well, a lot of different projects. How's it going, Brendan?
Good. Yeah, I'm kind of dove headfirst into cannopreneurship, if you will, and just OCD factor in my brain to try to find a way to get better plants, whether it was light above, the soil below, the plant in the middle, the environmental conditions. It's kind of an obsession.
Oh, man, what a way to come onto the podcast right there. I think the listeners are, their interest has already been piqued, my friend. Let's dive into it. First, actually, let's get to know you a little bit. Could you give a little bit of background on how you came into the positions that you find yourself in today and what brought you into the cannabis industry as a whole?
Well, a lot of tangents, a lot of curiosity, and just a lot of time, really, to paint a picture for you. My first foray into slinging nickels and dime bags was 1976.
Nice.
I was delivering newspapers on my bicycle and slinging on the side. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City, and that's just what we did, And then being a musician and being around every other stupid habit in the world, I always came back to, well, the one habit that's not going to kill you is weed. So why are people so obsessed with all this other stuff, which all it does is create damage? And then I've been very sick in my life, and I've got through that based on cannabinoids, things that help me heal and so forth. So I became really obsessed with trying to figure out what works and why. You know, there was, as the market's slowly becoming legal, there was so much inaccurate information out there. Like I call it the buddy says syndrome. My buddy says you got to do this, you got to do that. This is how you get the better plants. And then you train wreck and you go, well, no, you did it wrong. Well, I did what you told me. Then you find out the guy didn't know what he's talking about. He was just quoting somebody else who said somebody else, you know.
Highly contagious, the buddy says syndrome.
Yeah. So, you know, establishing a proper method, establishing data logging procedures, noting all the variables to figure out what went right, what went wrong. Whether it's creating a light, whether it's making a microbial blend, whether it's a soil mix, whether it's a nutrient situation, and each phase of growth of a plant, there's different demands environmentally, and it's kind of a puzzle. And luckily, the plant is very forgiving, but when you get it right, magical things happen.
Oh, man. I absolutely love it. Those are kind of the two things that you alluded to there are kind of the two things that we're focusing on today in this episode. Lighting, because obviously you do a lot of work in lighting.
Yeah.
And also microbes. Man, this world of microbiology is just so fascinating. To a layperson like me, it is extraordinarily deep. And like I said, just intriguing. To an expert like you, I'm sure it's just even multitudes more complex and interesting.
15 years ago, I thought I knew a lot. I was wrong, but I allowed myself to admit I was wrong, and I kept learning and figuring out and stumbling upon new things. You know, we used to think you just need, you know, mycorrhizae, a little this, a little that, and you're good to go. You just need these bottles of nutrients. Well, bottled nutrients, you know, if that's your thing, go with it. But it's essentially water with a few things in it. So
it sure
with the
is.
Price per pound and the propagating your things for yourself, when the cost factor is to be anywhere from 10 to 20 to 50 to 1 versus other methods of growing, I started asking myself a lot of questions. And I was a nutrient sales rep just 12, 13 years ago.
Oh, no kidding, man. I'm with you. I want to see people growing no matter what style, no matter how goofy I might think it is. I want to see people growing. But the liquid bottled fertilizers are some of the most, how do I put this, illogical, not economical, kind of ass backwards ways to feed the plant. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. They can do this by themselves. They've done it very well already. But when I look at a specific company's bottles and I look at the back of their bottle and it says 99.5% water and it's a 1 liter bottle and it's $87, who the hell thinks that makes sense? Not me.
Well, that is a very good point. And to be fair, I do think there are some incredible exceptions. One of our partners, the Foop, is doing some really, really cool stuff. And then on the other hand, there are some dry nutrients that are very cost effective that kind of kick that argument in the butt. But I see what you're saying too, which is a lot of these water salt based ones look kind of a lot alike.
Well, if you're going to stir up your salts, you know, get your own dry salts and mix them up, as long as you take the time to mix them properly and make sure the pH is balanced, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, but for people who are lazy or just want to chuck them in and feed, you know, that's when things go wrong. Whether it's wet newts or dry newts, it's a process. Just like, you know, I grew up in an Italian neighborhood in New York, and every good friend's mother was off the boat from Italy, had her way of making the sauce just right, you know? And my friend's parents, because I was the Irish kid in the Italian neighborhood, my friend's parents were like, trying to get me to say her sauce was best or her sauce was best. And I would say, I like them all, you know?
It's true, man.
Because when I got to the sauces for cannabis plants and what we're mixing in for ourselves, you have to note every detail of what you see. And then if you're stressed out and you have bug issues or this or that, and you're not really focused on the plants, you're focused on the problem, which is driving you nuts. But when you have very healthy plants, bugs will come in and they'll leave.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, if you've ever been to a rainforest or even a tropical park, you'll see healthy plants and you'll see a sick plant. And all the bugs are going to that sick plant, because what most people won't admit in cannabis growing is that they're growing sick plants. The ego won't allow them to say, my plants are sick. That's why I have so many bugs. Mm-hmm. But there's a direct relation. Just like people have bad breath when they're unhealthy, plants exude pheromones and things and odors that call insects to come eat them because they're giving up. So when you start seeing these patterns and how nutrients with microbials, with environmental conditions, with lighting above, it becomes a sauce, if you will. And if you have a sauce with HPS or you know, CMH, it's not going to be quite the same sauce as growing with an LED. And with LED, there are a couple things you have to augment, but the differences are epic. And as far as quality goes, on, you know, I helped found Spectrum King LED with Rami and the guys, and we are the company that launched full spectrum lighting. Everyone thought we were clowns when we did it, but now everyone's copying us and we have a patent. So if we want to be douches, we could go after everybody because we own a patent on it.
Man, I like the way this interview is going so far. I couldn't agree more. And we're going to get into lighting in here in just a second, but to put a cap on that point, I think you're absolutely right. And I do think a lot of those sauces are delicious, right? Like there's probably 100 ways to grow great cannabis, but you do have to be self-aware and objective, like you were saying. That's really what I believe.
And you have to be willing to admit that you screwed up.
Yeah. And as a 15 plus year expert, like you said, still learning and growing, that's how you know that you have to be open to new ideas.
So I simply said 15 years ago, I thought I knew it and I didn't. It's a lot longer than 15 years. I mean, it's, you know, on and off for 45 years.
Right. Good point. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
But it is, it's a happy obsession because I enjoy doing it. So it's not really something that drives me nuts, you know, but like you said, Steve and I, when we get around in these nerd sessions, we'll figure all kinds of stuff out because we have varying perspectives. But the whole point is to observe what's in front of your face. Not what you want to see, not what you think you see, but what's there, the good, the bad, the ugly. And if you screwed up, what did you screw up? Figure it out.
I love that. Yeah. That's great. Friend of the show, Stephen Reisner, the one who introduced Brendan here. Mm-hmm. I think we may have met a new friend of the show here, my friend. So let's get on to LEDs, though. I want to make sure we have enough time and room for everything. Mm-hmm. I am loving the advances that have just been absolutely exploding in the lighting, horticultural lighting market.
Yeah.
I would really like to kind of impart on growers the differences. I guess a good way to approach it is the differences between HID and LED. I guess even more specifically, just the nuances of having an LED light, because it's quite different than, say, the old school HIDs with their single focal point and their less efficient heat spread and all of that. So how do you kind of introduce people to the world of LEDs to wrap their head around it?
You still have the two schools of thought, point source like a bulb. We have point source fixtures like our SK403, our SK603, our closet case, some others are helper. Or we have linear arrays, you know, with the bars and things. It's what format, what position. For vertical growing, for example, you're not going to use point source lights because they need a lot more space to be above the canopy. So if you're growing in, you know, short stack plants in a vertical environment, you're going to use linear vertical fixtures.
Right.
That can be plants that are more even spread. But getting back to what you mentioned, spectrum, what bandwidths, I should say, are necessary. We did a whole lot of research on that. And just to paint a picture for you, you know, when Rami and I first met 13 years ago, he was making LEDs. He's making blue and red ones, you know, back then. And we used to have a lot of good smack talking sessions because we're like brothers. I mean, we argue and everything, but we figured it out. And then we did our first test grows. And the first thing we noticed that our plants looked more lush. They were shorter and squatter. And if you got the environmental variables right, and that was the biggest thing. When I told people 5 or 7 years ago that you have to grow the room hotter and more humidity with LED, they told me I didn't know what I was talking about. I was an idiot. I would say, here's my VPD chart. Just look at it. Understand what it is. And then people would take a VPD chart. And then what they do is that one time a day, they get it right. And then their lights go out and the humidity goes through the roof and the temperature comes down. They don't understand that. So I was trying to explain to them that hotter air holds more moisture in balance. But when that air cools down, your humidity is going up, not down. And a lot of people couldn't wrap their head around that. So I tried to get them to get the lighting intensity above is one of the key elements, as you mentioned. But like the good sauce I kind of alluded to earlier, it's all part of it. Mm-hmm. So if I get the right photons above, and this is the part that a lot of people miss, plants want to live. They'll take what they can get. It's not called weed without reason. It wants to live. It'll take any photons it can get. But if you give it the right photons, you have more terpenes, more alkaloids, flavonoids. You even have more THC at times. And you can adjust things. And what we found was repeatedly that HPS, due to the heat they create and the extreme excessive infrared that they never show you. They only show you 400, 700 nanometers because they don't want you to see that it literally goes straight to the moon above 700 nanometers. It's like a rocket ship taking off. And that's where all that heat comes from.
Oh.
That's why you have to keep your grow rooms with HPS in the 70s and your humidity, which is kind of ironic, but keep it down because the plant thinks it's much hotter.
Huh.
If you laser thermometer to the top of a bud in an HPS room, it's not going to say 73 or 75 degrees. It's probably going to say 85 or even 90.
Wow.
And I blew a lot of guys' minds with that. I would say, here's my laser thermometer. Go ahead. Show me your best bud and take its temperature. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, show me your best bud and take its temperature. It's all I'm asking. Nothing crazy. Just do that. Then he would tell me when the meter's broken. I'm like, no, it's not. Let's go over here. What's it say? It says it's what? Here you go. Your AC says the room is 78 degrees. Let's measure the wall. It says 78 degrees. So maybe let's take it back in there. So now you know that what you thought was true isn't. Perhaps you could open your mind to using this method.
Wow.
I'm not preaching to hear myself talk. I'm preaching because I want people to have better plants, be able to grow for themselves. Whether it's leafy greens, mushrooms, orchids, or weed, I want people to be able to grow better plants.
Right, and man. I love that. So increasing the photons and increasing the temperature
diet of photons,
and humidity with the and the bandwidth. Okay, and changing the bandwidth.
The new UL8800 standard. Luckily, I got to be involved in that early on years ago because they asked us. The DLC contacted and UL contacted all the lighting companies, and they're asking, what do you need in a horticultural standard? I said, well, stop measuring 400, 700. That's what we can see. That's what NASA believed in 1973 was what plants used, but it isn't. Plants use more, really, like 280 to 850. But if you get 350 to 800, that's a much better, more accurate swath of bandwidths of light that plants actually use. And that's what they refer to now as BPF. You have PPF, which is the 400 to 700 nanometers, then BPF, which measures the full range of 350 to 800. Whoa. So if you look at new lighting fixtures, you see PPF and you see BPF, which is a little bit higher. If it's only a tiny bit higher, you know they don't have those other bandwidths in the right doses. But if it's like 100 or even more higher, then you know that they've got the other bandwidths that the plant needs. And the bookends, as I call them, the below 400 and above 700, you don't need massive, you know, junky doses of them. You just need enough to stimulate the reactions you want from the plant.
Wow. And you see, like you said, overall better health. Do you see more expressions and all that good stuff?
The SFVOG, you know, a strain known for decades. And the guy who made it is from the Valley in Los Angeles. And he came to the shop one day and he's known the owner of the company for years. And we were all chugging. And I say, I want to show you something. And I take him into a grow room and I point at a plant. And he goes, what's that? And I go, that is your cut of SFVOG grown under LED. He goes, no, it isn't. It looks and smells totally different. I go, I know. It's not skywalkering, stretching up. It's a squat bush. And he couldn't believe it. And when he smoked it, he was like, damn, because there is a noticeable difference in phenotype expression. But more importantly, the compounds you get is different. And a lot of that is not because LED adds them. It's because LED doesn't burn them off like HPS or CMH does.
Okay. Yeah, that does make sense as well. That's a combination of the lighting spectrum. And then, as you said, just running at a lower heat, not burning them off is what you're referring to?
Well, not having those harmful bandwidths.
The bandwidths. Okay. Like, so it's all
when you're measuring in an LED, if you could get a spectroradiometer to measure 0 to 1200 nanometers, like really a lot of range, you would see LEDs pretty much hit that 350 to 800. They don't really touch outside it. Whereas HPS touches outside that substantially. Like a metal halide, you know, depending on what type of bulb, it could be actually scary how much it hits outside that. And what we used to do is just turn the AC up, put the light a little higher, you know, get more airflow to mitigate the heat damage.
Wow.
But I'm taking a fixture which is using like a double-ended bulb, which is using at a 1,000-watt setting, it's using about 1,070 watts, and I'm getting X amount of light out of it. Granted, intense photons in a specific range with a large part of a range the plants don't need, the actual segment of photons the plant does need is a healthy dose, but it's not as balanced as a 650-watt LED light. It's giving them more of the photons they want without the excess heat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And do you find that the array style, the bar style lights, do you find that that is architecturally the optimal setting?
I ask people, what is your grow style? Because that's what's going to dictate. If you're growing tree, you want point source. If you're growing stack short auto flower, you want an array.
Oh, wow.
You know, if you're growing plants that are only going to be 3 feet tall and you're quick turn and burn, you want a linear fixture. You want an array. But if you're cranking out plants that are 4.5, 5, 6, 7 feet or more tall, and you're going to have 3, 4 feet of canopy, you want a point source light. You want that severe punch to go down deep into the plant.
Okay, I like that, man. I really like that take. You know, I've heard lighting experts come on this show and say, you know, spectrum really isn't all that important. It's about hammering the photons. It sounds like you're spectrum king. Of course you focus on the spectrum. Do you push back against that? Do you think that there is room for evolution in the way we approach spectrum? What are your thoughts?
Even when we launched it, right, Spectrum King, we launched it and we put out our spectrum and we had a specific whites and specific reds put in there to get horticultural, specifically cannabis results when we started. And we immediately saw a difference in the plants. We said, we're onto something, let's push it, let's see where it's gonna go. And as technology's evolved, it's made it easier for us. Like, for example, a light that I made 5 years ago, my light today uses the same power as that, is twice as bright.
Right.
You know? And it's only the past, really, I want to say 2021, where we now have the tipping, we've reached the tipping point where you can't justify, yes, they do cost more, but they last longer. They save you an F ton of power. I could give any commercial grower, even if he's paying 7 cents a kilowatt hour, I could give him an ROI, which would blow his mind how fast the lights pay for themselves.
Right.
By the amount of power you save collectively in cooling, in ventilation, and in just straight up lighting consumption. And as more states go legal and more these big grows are going up, they want reliable operations. They don't want to have to keep changing stuff, you know, every few months, having somebody climb up to tear a room down to replace bulbs twice a year.
That's what I was just going to say too, is the operation cost of bulbs is something that I don't hear a lot of people bring up in the HID versus LED. And again, I'd rather see someone get started growing. Some of those HID fixtures are cheap as fuck, but there's a reason for that, to be honest.
Well, what they don't understand is the aluminum reflector in all of those lights is only good for a year. Now, it's not going to burn or melt or fall out, but it's lost its ability to reflect light in a year, and it's just a heat radiator at that point.
Jeez.
So you're supposed to, every two bulbs, you're supposed to replace the reflector insert.
Oh, no one does that. No one fucking does that, man.
I know. And if you see a new fixture in a room of 100 lights, you can pick it out of the crowd instantly because it looks that much brighter.
I never thought about that. You just blew my fucking mind, man. That's awesome. You're supposed to replace the inside reflector.
Again, the OCD factor to see how do we get better plants? What are the details other people aren't looking at? That's one of them. And if you get dimpled aluminum, and I'm not going to pick on certain countries, but let's just say their aluminum tested a bit dirty, just like their hydrants and other things tested quite dirty. They were leaching toxins and plants were getting sick. And people were like, I don't understand. I'm feeding everything right. Maybe it's your media.
Whoa.
And then... then they say, well, you're supposed to flush it for a week. I'm like, who flushes their media for a week? You know, fine print. But that's just things they did. And I think it was 2008 or 9. At that point in time, it was called Sunlight Supply. And they sold tubing that literally leached toxins and killed every plant, that's every tray that plant that the tubing went on to kill all the plants. And they just said to people, "Well, you're growing marijuana illegally. I'm sorry, we can't condone your actions."
Oh,
just told them
shit.
To F off.
That's fucked.
You can change the company's name and become something else like it did now. But that type of dirty pool, I note it, and I go, "Well, I'm never going to work with that company. I don't care how much reach and influence they have. Their philosophical standpoint is at odds with mine." So
dirty pool. No. I love it. You're going to fit in fine here, my friend. That's called angling and poker. No, listen, you're right. I remember Wolfman, our kind of my longtime co-host and our kind of retail expert. He would tell all sorts of wackadoo stories like that, man. Old grow tents that would leach off the toxic compounds from the material and kill plants inside the tent.
Or you get serious headaches that you'd work in your tent and you're like, why do I have a headache? And you get out of the tent, like 5 minutes later, you feel better. You're like, the heat of the light in the tent would make it off gas.
Oh my God, dude. That's exactly what he was talking about. And it's just too much sometimes. And like you said, they oftentimes they just totally, you know, slide, they skate on it.
Here's a nutty thing. You know, I'm not for, you know, uncontrolled tobacco vaping. I think that's idiotic. But all those vapes at one point were using vitamin E acetate in them. No one ever thought to look what happens to vitamin E acetate when you heat it.
Right. Yeah, that's what led to that whole scandal, right?
Teenagers are thinking they're cool, now destroy their lungs. You know, like just stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
It's going in my body. I want to know what it is, where it comes from, and why it does what it does.
100%, man. I could not agree more. That's a good transition to microbiology.
Yeah.
Something that I'm always trying to cultivate in my garden. We'll be right back with Brendan. But before that, Plant Revolution, baby, plantrevolution.com, or find the Great White Line in your local hydro store. They're everywhere. We love Plant Revolution. I've talked about their King Crab product a lot and their Myco Chum. Today, I want to focus on their mycorrhizal products. They've got the Great White Granular, add upon transplanting. You guys know the power of Myco and everything that it does, but they also have the Liquid Orca line. Now, I really like this Liquid Orca for a lot of reasons. First of all, you apply the granular Myco, but you want to be supplementing that. It doesn't hurt to add on top of that. Throw in some Orca every once in a while. Make sure that fungal colony is still bumping. Make sure the bacteria doesn't get too dominant. Orca is a great supplement that you can add mycorrhizal fungi to your grow after transplant. You can add it in later. The other reason I really like Orca is for all the people who are growing in a non-soil style.
I recently saw someone add orca to their DWC. They added king crab and they added orca. So that's the beneficial bacteria and the mycorrhizal liquid fungi. Now, I know you've got to keep that DWC clean. So I said, listen, update us on how this goes. I don't know how this is going to go, you know, adding that orca. I'm telling you guys, it completely transformed the roots. And it didn't just multiply the roots by a number of strands into like a wizard beard. It beefed them up. They turned into like tree roots. It was literally night and day. And if you were in the Discord, you saw that one. That was from adding king crab and orca to the DWC. So again, shout out to Plant Revolution. They crush with this great white line. They're huge supporters of the show. Go give them a try, everybody. All right, let's get back to it with Brendan. Let's talk about BioCat. This seems to be your microbiology-facing brand here. Talk to me about BioCat. Talk to me about its inception and its mission.
Well, ironically enough, the guys, Jasper, Jerome, Hugo, and Henry, and myself, we met up, and I had met Jerome and another thing, and I helped him design lighting for a custom lightest production facility, and we kind of all would bang into each other here and there. And a few years ago, we sat down, and we go, what's up with all these products and the crazy cost of these things, man? Like, there's got to be a way to make things smarter and more cost-effective. Because who's going to buy this microbial, that microbial, that microbial, this liquid, that liquid? At the end of the day, you spend a ton of money, and now you don't even know compatibility or they overlap each other because of state registration laws, you don't know what's in there. Mm-hmm. What's listed is what the state felt they could measure in their test. They won't let you claim anything else. And let's just say you had strontium, which is a mineral which helps plants uptake calcium, and it was 0.03%, but your second test was 0.02 and your third test was 0.04, you cannot claim it, right? So it is essential in that microdose like that for plant health, but you can't claim it. You can only claim what is measured, consistent, the same every single time. And that's like with the NPK mentality, or the 15 micro and macronutrients. That's not what plants need. They'll take it because, again, it wants to live. It'll take what it can get. But if you give it the right balanced diet, which is a lot more than those 15 minerals, amazing things happen.
Wow.
And with microbials, I thought I knew plenty. And I thought I had products. This is going to take care of this. This is going to take care of that. And as I dug deeper under the hood, no bus under bus throwing people, but I found a company that was making a ton of money in a product. And it was expensive. I'm like, what the is this stuff? And I found out that it was septic tank cleaner.
Huh. Just rebottled, rebranded?
Even worse, severely diluted and rebottled.
Funny how that works, right?
Yeah. So when I found that out, I'm like, well, why are they using pathogenic bacteria? And then I realized the 80-20 rule, which comes in so many things in the life. In any living solution, you need the good and the bad. It's a question of which side of the team is winning.
Hmm.
And the environment will dictate. If it gets too acidic, it gets not enough oxygen, the pathogens will take over. But anaerobic bacteria are not all pathogens. Mm-hmm. Anaerobic bacteria help break down complex things and turn them back into plant-available food. And when they break them back down, the aerobes sense food and reactivate.
Ah.
So in the ground, yes, there's a war between microbials for resources, but the bulk of them live in harmony.
Right, right.
You go in your yard, you find worms, you find this, you find that. They're all doing their thing. Nobody's, unless the worm comes above ground and a bird swipes it, it's totally cool on the ground. Nobody's messing with it. We called it more. Why? Because it just does more. The balance in that solution of over 700 pushing 800 microbials, even myself, I don't thought, that's effing crazy. There's no way this stuff's going to work. And we did it. It worked unbelievably well. And then we put it on a shelf for 3 months and remeasured it, and it was still alive and almost in the same balance. Like, that defies logic. There's no encapsulation, wow. There's no funky other chemicals. We still say to use it fresh. Don't get me wrong. I want you to use it fresh, just like anything else. You go to the bakery, you don't want day old bread, you want fresh bread. But once we understood, it changed my perspective on how microbials work, and that it is a symbiosis and a balance factor, and they play off each other up and down. When the plant roots give out certain exudates, that activates different species within the line. And they're all there, wrapped around the roots, protecting them. And once they see, oh, this is my trigger food, I dive in. And that species breaks it down into a couple other things, which feeds other species microbials and also gives some of it back to the plant. as microchelated nutrients. So if you don't have the right microbial balance in your rhizosphere and even on your plant surfaces and foliar, you're never going to optimize them. And I know plenty of guys that do well with straight mineral, sterile room, sealed, the whole thing. I get it. You know, they do that. But those aren't the guys that I'm seeing with the biggest yields and effects and best tasting flowers, if you will.
Well, yeah, you know, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers here. Everyone knows about my thoughts on that. Again, I want to see you growing, and I think that, you know, there's even room for that sterile cannabis type of growth. There's a difference between microbially diverse and healthy and sterile, and it might be attractive to somebody, for instance, with an autoimmune disorder or something like that. So I think there's room for everybody. Yeah. But ever since I've discovered micro diversity and and what that does to the cannabis plant, I've been absolutely hooked. I'm interested in your product here, BioCat More, for the audience, MORE. And
BioCat.us.
BioCat.us. There it is, everyone.
We actually make brewers now for on site because, you know, we're against shipping liquids. So we found that most commercial farms that use the stuff, you know, we get them a 100-gallon or 200-gallon on-site brewer, and it's just a recharge packet you put in every week.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot easier to ship a recharge packet on a schedule.
I like that,
and
man.
And it's on-site, and it's just making it. We can remotely access it to program how much you need per day on the bigger units. The small unit, we just program with a dial.
Very interesting. Check it out, you home growers, BioCat More. I have questions, though, kind of circling back to something you said. This is something I hear a lot with microbial products, with enzyme products. The lack of kind of claiming what's inside the bottle, whether that's so they don't claim it, so they don't have to do something or register something. Like you said, some ways right. They can't claim it.
There's some dirty pool involved.
It makes it hard as the consumer, well, to be honest.
And also, the word gets thrown around a lot. But what is your understanding of what an enzyme is?
My understanding is that an enzyme is not a living organism like a microbe, but rather a compound that's produced by living organisms like microbes.
Well, but also, what is the purpose of an enzyme?
It's usually designed to break something down or kind of transmute something.
So if you have a solution that has enzyme in it, hundreds of species of microbials, amino acids, and some very mild food sources, you have a live army ready to get to work. And when you put the army to work, I mean, I'm not going to paint a ridiculous picture, but this is the truth from what customers are telling us, that they see 5 to 15% increase in yields and their place is cleaner.
Right.
Because not only are the aerobes cycling all those nutrients, the anaerobes and the 80-20 balance are actually cleaning the lines so there's no biofilm and buildup. If you use it properly, if your lines have been dirty for years, using this stuff once is not going to magically flick them clean. But if you start off clean, you'll stay clean, much cleaner with this, especially things with drip emitters and stuff like that, because they tend to get buildup on them.
What does your product look like when you pour it out of the bottle? Is it like a clear kind of water, or does it have a color to it?
It's a watery looking product with a mild aroma to it.
That's what a lot of these products look like.
Well,
you know, I guess it makes sense.
We're talking about microbials.
Yeah. I was just going to say, micro is right in there. But I was just commenting on that. When I get an enzyme product or a micro product, a lot of them have that transparent appearance.
Right. And there's been some cool companies with interesting things. Like there was a company out of Canada. I don't know if they're still doing it, but it was called Agrarian Organics. And they were taking super deep sea uprising current water with rare microbials and minerals in them and using those for plant food, and they're working really well. But obviously you have to have a pumping station off on a ocean ridge, and that's kind of a gnarly little process. Our stuff has been used in Europe for over 40 years in other markets, and then we brought it over from the UK and branched into the US, and just basically old school word of mouth. Here, try it. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think. Do this, do that. What do I have to do? Try this, try that. This is what's wrong here. This is what's right there. Use it like this. And like, well, how do you use it? I said, 2%, or you can just go two ounces per gallon. Is that during flower, during veg? It goes the whole way through, period.
Wow.
And you're like, that's it. Yes, just 2 ounces per gallon all the way through. It's going to break things down. It's going to microcycle nutrients. So the plant's going to go right to the end. If you want to flush 2 weeks, like a lot of guys do, stop it then. But if you do stop it then, you'll get some buildup. So you can have less nutrients, but when anything that's in the lines and stuff that's going to be cleaned out of your trays, you just put it through.
Nice. That's something that I've heard about, specifically the enzymes, as you said, kind of that breakdown, that cleaning process, keeping things clean and then not leaving anything behind. They kind of just dissipate, right? Like,
well, the thing about like biofilm, for example, sludge, enzyme will help with that, provided it's in the right pH level, oxygenation level, but you need anaerobic bacteria more often than not to break that stuff down.
Oh, wow. So again, it's that soup. It's that consortium.
Right, right. And it was really hard for me because, again, I thought I knew stuff and then I learned new stuff. And I told the guys, I said, this has warped my brain because now I have to rethink everything because what I thought I knew, and I wasn't wrong. I didn't have all the data. And when I started understanding that it's a much bigger picture and that the 15 dominant species of microbials that pretty much everyone tries to pimp and put out there, they're good. Don't get me wrong. They're better than nothing. But when you have the whole soup, the change is epic.
And you said 800 or so?
It depends, 700 to 800 is in there. Depending on how long you had it sitting, what temperature you had it in, all that.
I know this is probably an impossible question to answer, so I understand if there isn't an answer, but is there one that, like you said, is maybe outside of that 15 that you just think is just a huge game changer, or it's something that shines that no one quite understands or recognizes?
Well, I mean, if you get into Trichoderma and you know, mycorrhizal colonies, you pretty much know that I don't care if you get a packet with 14 different species in it, one of them is going to take over.
Yeah.
There's so many Trichoderma herzanians, like Kunigi, but those guys are going to be towards the top. I mean, if you understand how to feed fungi, and that's one of the problems that people have. They get the right microbials, but they don't get the right stuff to feed them. Like when people use, you know, bootstrap molasses, that's not for the plants. Plants don't eat molasses.
Right.
So microbials do and turn it into plant food.
Right, so, right. Is that something you recommend for that type of application?
If you're growing with microbials and you want to get into something which is cost effective and easy to do, hell yeah.
Okay.
Simple. I mean, if you were to set up your own worm bin, and like, there's so many guys do good worm stuff, whether you do Coot Mix or, you know, Vermiculture, look it up on YouTube, there's tons of videos. You could cut up your own worm bin, get your microbials more, and you could have a full grow without even buying nutrients if you wanted to.
Right, right.
You know, and then stimulating the plant's immune system, having the right things to trigger it, like chitin. That's one of those words that drives me nuts because it's C-H-I-T-I-N, but pronounced chitin.
I read it as a kid. I thought it was chitin.
Everyone did. We all did. And it's the chitinase enzyme. Like, no, it's a chitinase enzyme.
And just to kind of, maybe if someone's just, you know, hearing of this for the first time, the chitin is what? The compound that usually things like crab shells are made out of. It's kind of like a carapace compound.
Arthropods.
All arthropods. Okay. Yeah. If you have a carapace, it's chitinous, right?
It's the world's oldest compound. It's the oldest micropolymer on the planet, and it's what triggers plants to create the chitinase enzyme to protect themselves.
Ah.
So if you have dead insect shells and you crumble them up and you put them around the top of your plant, the plant senses their presence and begins to create the chitinase enzyme to break that chitin down. You break that chitin down, now you're feeding your fungal colonies, making them better at their job. So suddenly that one little act of adding crushed up, whether you get it through insect frass or you actually buy bugs and smash them up yourself, which some people do, which is kind of crazy, but hey, that one little act will stimulate your plants to produce more secondary metabolites.
Finally, a use for all of those cicada shells.
Oh my God.
That are all over the trees. I've heard a shout out to Build a Soil. We've been working on getting Jeremy on the show. They have that Black Soldier Fly. I have some members who really stand by that stuff. I know any insect frass is a good choice, but there's a couple members who just love that black soldier fly. I believe for the same reasons that you were pointing out on this episode.
It is phenomenal. And I actually had a friend who was trying to farm them out by the Salton Sea in California because there's so many there. He's like, why don't we just, and I go, oh, it makes sense. But it's for people to wrap their head around it because the humans really have a bad view of flies.
I hate flies, man.
Oh, we all do. I can't stand them. Like, but if they're dead and they're going to help my plants,
my mind will change. I actually get house flies in my garden. I can't stand it. They fly into my house and then they must smell my cannabis plants and they come on down. And no, I'm not growing skunk. A little shot there. Anyways, Listen, man, what do we got here? We're talking microbes. Where do you want to take this before we wrap it up? I want to make sure you have time for plugs and everything, but what else do you want to rap about here to the home cultivators of the world?
Well, I would say to the home cultivators of the world that it's people tend to pick one thing and focus on it, whether it's the light, whether it's the soil, whether it's the nutrients, whether it's the environment, but it's all of that that's going to get you the home run. So if you're growing with an LED and you're inside your tent and your temperature is 75 degrees and your humidity is 30 or 40%, you're going to have tiny, shiny little buds. They'll taste good. But if you're trying to get a yield and you want to get more out of your plants, you have to create the proper environment for that light source. If you have HPS, obviously you'd create the environment for that and the nutrient profile. With LED, you're going to find little things that you need slightly more calcium. You might want to play with some Epsom salt, a little extra magnesium that really, really makes them pop. Temperature, humidity, PPM. If you use CO2, mm-hmm. the old formula I love, it's real simple. I just match my nutrient PPM and CO2. If I'm feeding 1200 PPM, I'm giving 1200 PPM CO2.
Huh.
If I'm edge and I'm feeding 300, I'm giving 300.
I love that.
Yeah. Just keep it simple. And, you know, a good friend up in Canada, Ramo.
Oh, we love Ramo.
Oh, he's I known him for years. He's awesome. He and his wife are really, really cool. But we used to talk about these things at trade shows. I ran him to the Czech Republic, right, like all over the place when shows were happening. And we used to laugh because he's been in really bad accidents and I've been in really bad accidents. And the fact that we're both living is already an accomplishment.
Oh, man.
But that we overcame a lot. You know, he had a broken back and things like he was bad. I've had a broken neck and impacted his spine, a bunch of stuff.
Oof.
Overcame it. And I overcame it through cannabinoids. You know, I was on conventional medicine for years. And, you know, I now have friends now that get nuts at me because I might have a runny nose, but I'm not going to take OTC medicine because it messes my stomach up. So if I'm really sick and I have to go to the hospital, I do.
I think that's a powerful story that a lot of people share.
Mm.
I am glad you shouted out Urban Ramo, by the way. They were partners with us for a little while. Just such nice people over there.
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe give him a follow there, listeners. Quick shout out to Ramo.
Yeah, I wonder if one of his guys is still there. He was actually growing hops at home. And we were having fun playing with lighting and nutrient blend for hops. You know, it's cool to try new crops, see something else, see, and learn how to sculpt it.
Wow. Pretty close to cannabis, that hops is. And I hear, you know, you can graft hops onto cannabis and this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Frankensteining plants goes a lot further than just that. And I've seen some pretty scratch my head mixes in France where they really started grafting, you know, centuries ago. I saw trees with five different branches of five different species of plants on the same base.
We were just looking at the going, this. That's really cool. Like a citrus tree, for instance.
Yep. Yeah.
That's
it
so
was.
Cool.
It had five different species from limes to lemons to oranges to, you know, on the same tree.
And my understanding is that I was just told this on a previous episode that the branches will fruit on timing according to their mother plant where they came from, not the one they were grafted onto.
You can get different harvests at different times of the year from the same tree. Yes.
That is so crazy, man.
Clock, man. So many things, you know, if I put an indica on a mountain outside in May, it's going to instantly sense the environment, how much light it gets that day. And by the third day, it knows what's going on and it's cranking, provided it's got the right soil to be in and fed.
Wow.
Cannabis knows what it wants, but it will stay alive. And the perception of what a good plant is and a bad plant is personal to a point.
I like that.
If I walk into a commercial grow and I can tell that these guys are getting maybe a pound and a quarter of light, I'm shaking my head because I'm like, what the have you been doing to think that this was okay? It's interesting in some of the new states coming online that people, you know, they're growing, they're trying, they're learning stuff, but they get a lot of bad information. And I don't know where they get it from sometimes. But I said to them, you realize that you could have called me at any point and I would have helped you for free just to get you going. But, you know, now here you are with russet mites and broad mites and this, that, and the other thing. Like, just what the fuck were you thinking?
What do you find yourself correcting other than obviously keeping up on your IPM protocols? That's about the worst thing you can do for your yield is get an infestation.
Well,
but when they're not pulling like you want them to, what do you end up fixing a lot of the time?
Well, actually, more often than not, it's environmental variables and the lighting distance over the canopy.
Being too far, too close, what?
One or the other. Yeah. Lights are usually too far or too close.
Okay.
And, or the environmental variables were wrong.
VPD being off. So like that maybe the temperature and the humidity weren't way out of whack. But if you take a look at the VPD chart, it was kind of not so good.
Yeah, I was in a commercial grow in Denver in a dispensary grow. And I was just shaking my head because it was so dry in there. I was getting nosebleeds in the grow. And the plants looked horrible.
Oh, no.
I mean, horrible. Like 6 foot tall with maybe grams on them, not ounces. And I'm like, does this guy not understand that you need humidity in here?
Right. Okay. Now, what do you say about like cultivar specific, which I know does matter, but does it really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Totally matters?
Absolutely. Oh. There's no one size fits all. You can get closer with VPD, right? But like I say, if I'm on my indicas, I'm going to err towards the dry side. If I'm on equatorial sativas, I'm going to err towards the wetter side. You have a range where you're in the right zone for them. But also, the equatorial strains, the nighttime temperature isn't much different than the daytime temperature. So if I'm some Jamaican or some Brazilian plants, my daytime, nighttime temperature might be 5 to 7 degrees different. My humidity might be 5% different. Whereas if I'm going indicas and I'm in mid-flower, my daytime and nighttime temperature might be 15 degrees different. My humidity might be 15 or 20% different.
That's what happens
in their natural environment.
And then with polyhybridization, a lot of that stuff is just completely mixed up, tossed and jumbled.
That's what we started in the beginning of this, where we talked about really focusing on what you see in front of you, not what you want to see, not what you thought you see, what actually is in front of you. And with these hybrids, they're going to tell you, like any other plant, where are the leaves at? What angle? What's the tip looks like? What do the edges look like? What do the veins look like? Is the plant standing up on its own? Is it too bendy? Is it too, what's going on here? And then you start seeing, I need a little silicates to get to build up the structural strength. Oh, I need a little phosphorus during flower. It's a bit, they'll tell you what they want if you just stop and look.
Man.
And being that I'm, have hearing problem a little bit now and I have a little bit of eyesight and wear glasses now, I appreciate that because being a musician back in the day, but coming from a family with congenital hearing problems, so I was screwed out the gate. But staring at plants and zoning into them came naturally to me because of my hearing problem. Because people would say stuff and I wouldn't catch it sometimes. So I just kind of zone into the plants. And I would see things and point them out. And I'm like, what? No, I don't. And they go, oh, shit. How did you see that? Just did. Because, where's Waldo? Where's the thing that's different in the room? I'll walk in a room. I'll close my eyes, take a deep breath. Then I'll walk towards the side. I smell the problems coming from. They go, there's no fucking way you could do that. Who told you? I go, I just got here. I walked in. I took a deep breath. And I'm telling you, you got root rot over here on the side. No, we don't. And we go over there and I find it. And it's like, oh, my God, that's gross. You must smell that funk. I mean, come on, man. Your nose serves a purpose. If you don't walk in a room, take a deep breath and smell love, figure it out because you're on a clock. Now am I going to lose my plants? Am I going to have a much reduced yield because I missed something? I wasn't focused. Yeah.
Man, I will tell you the one time I got root rot, that scent was very specific and very unique. I will admit that.
If you smell that aroma, that odor, I should say, not aroma, you won't forget it. That's a punch in the nose that you don't want. It is wow. And then when you see the roots, where they look like that smoker's breath slime looking,
it looks like a troll's hair, which you would imagine if a troll crawled out of a swamp,
like an orc.
Totally freshly born orc.
But from experience, from successes and failures, and back in the day, I couldn't exactly ask anybody or go online to see what I was doing right or wrong.
Yeah.
Just think 10, 15 years ago, if you got 2 pounds of light, you were good.
Oh yeah, dude.
You were
Absolutely.
Good. You were somebody. You were, strutting down the street. Yeah, I'm getting 2 light. What up? And it was 3 light.
Yeah, that's true.
There's 4 light. Now this guy's getting over 5.
Yeah, that's true. No, you are right about that. That is absolutely true. I think that lights themselves have changed, but also take a look at the numbers.
The rest of the sauce.
Yeah.
The perspective on the total sauce and environment.
Yeah.
When real science got involved and real industry looked at it from a commercial production standpoint, whether we like it or not, that's where it's going. How do I get more out of this environment? How do I get more yield per square foot per year? Because that's all they care about.
Oh, yeah.
When I dealt with some guys that were dealing with PTSD and they came back, in the service or even cops that I helped quietly teach them how to grow, they got really, really good at it because their normal day job, if you will, or what they did before was following SOPs to the letter.
Oh, hell yeah.
So when I would convert these guys, and one of the guys I helped, I love this because he's like 6'11". He's not a little person. And he was angry. And he was a commercial pilot, believe it or not. And his wife called me. He said, I want to talk to you. And I go, okay. Hi. He goes, I'm so-and-so's wife. I go, cool. How's he doing? She goes, what did you do to my husband? I go, what do you mean? What did I do to your husband? He goes, he's nice. He's happy. He spends too much time with his plants. When he comes out, he's a joy to be with. And I said, because we brought him back from the dark side.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. I've heard that story time and time again. But, you're 100% right. The growing is almost as medicinal as the medicine.
Little kids will walk up to a plant and say, why is that? They'll find the thing that's wrong because they don't know they're not supposed to. They'll just walk up to go, what's that? And there's, oh, it's a bug in there, right? We have that in us. We lose it over time. Stress of life, push fast, beat, you know, whatever going on, too much going on. When you get in your garden, the first thing you should do, take a deep breath, sit down, and just look around the room. I don't care if it's just 3 minutes. Look around the room. Is the canopy, if you have one strain in a row, is that whole row the same height? If it isn't, why not? You can walk in the room every day and deal with your plants and pluck and do this, that, and the other thing, and not notice that table 4 is about 6 inches shorter than table 3 and 2 or 1.
Right. Yeah, well, I know exactly what you mean.
Right, but it could be your lines are blocked. It could be it's too hot down there. It could be your airflow is off. It could be that the nutrients are too hot when they get there. But if you don't stop and look, you're not going to catch it. And it's dumb, but if you just stop and look and then come up with a plan and stick to it, the odds are quite good you're going to do well.
Oh, man, I love that. Constantly vigilant, constantly observing.
Yeah.
I think that you are the observer on the Enneagram scale, I would argue. We're coming up to the top of the hour here, man. Let's make sure we get in plugs, of course. Spectrum King, LAD, BioCat Microbials.
Yeah.
Instagram, websites, where are we going?
Well, obviously, SpectrumKingLAD.com for the lights. We have Instagram for both companies. I think it's Grow With More for BioCat.us is the website. I'm horrible with social media.
We'll find them. You nailed it. BioCat.us and then Spectrum King and Grow With More on Instagram.
Yeah.
You got it done, my friend. Listen, this was an awesome episode.
Thank you.
We would love to have you back on. And we thank you for enlightening the GrowCast audience today. Pardon the horrible pun.
It's now we're allowed to openly share things that can help people with a plant we couldn't before. And I'm from the mindset that helping people is better than not helping people. So if this knowledge is free and we can share it and we can bring the game up, and we've seen over the past few years, I mean, it went from 2 pounds to 3 pounds to 4 pounds, some people getting 5 pounds of light. Granted, some of those strains I wouldn't want because they're nasty, but you know, that happens. You know, it's an art form. It's a lifestyle. It's a lot of things. But if you just stop and look and figure out the why it's good or bad, and if something's stumping you, come to a show like this, ask the question, drop it in somebody's forum. You know, what, have you seen this before? I remember telling people, did you go to growweedeasy.com? Like, that's funny. And I'll go, it's a real website, man. Go look. Show me the picture of what you're seeing. Now you know what you have.
Yeah, man. You know, it's an honor to help people grow, honestly, to have this be my job. I am like forever grateful for this. And especially, like you said, to do this show for free for, you know, 40K subs that we have. It's really, really fun. And guests like you are always keeping me on my toes and learning more. So thank you again, buddy, for taking the time today.
That's all good. I appreciate you taking time to let me speak.
Thank you, listeners. I know you enjoyed this one with Brendan and I. Stay tuned, as always. We're on Instagram at GrowCast and then patreon.com/GrowCast for all that sweet, sweet bonus content. Just $10 a month. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. This is Brendan and Jordan signing off saying be safe and grow smarter.
Cool.
That's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you. And Brendan will be back. What a great guest. What a great first appearance. Shout out to Beanstalk Agriculture, baby. I got a plant running in one right now, in some right now. BeanstalkCRF.com. It's the future of fertilizer. Code GrowCast will save you 15%, and it might be the easiest way to fertilize your plants. I mean, it has to be the easiest way to fertilize your plants. You add these prills, these beads, one time when you transplant to veg, and then one more time when you transplant to flower, and that's it.
I just took down the Wicked Deep Strawberry. I'm smoking on it right now. It's absolutely incredible. You'll see pictures if you get on the green list, growcastpodcast.com/list. And it was grown in beanstalk, supplemented with microbes. So, you know, I take back what I said all those years ago. I'll never go back from living soil, is what I said. Beanstalk convinced me. That's how easy this product is. BeanstalkCRF.com, code GROWCAST for 15% off. If you're on the bottle, what are you doing? Switch off and get onto it. And if you're synthetic, but you're looking for something that's a little bit easier and you don't mind those chelated nutrients, gotta give beans. Just throw one plant. Gotta give Beanstalk a try. Throw one plant in it and see how it does. BeanstalkCRF.com, code GROWCAST. And I'm hitting up these guys and telling them to get on sample packs because I know if somebody tries this, it's really hard to go back, you guys. I got one plant running it. All right, everyone, that's all for today. Of course, all the regular stuff. Shout out to Jay Blank for doing the ad beat. Get on the list. Check out membership. Stay tuned. We're coming to a town near you. I was very, very sick, on the edge of death. Not the plague or anything. Something totally different. But I feel I'm returning to the land of the living. So, GrowCast will be back stronger than ever. Thank you all. Stay tuned. Love you all. Goodbye.